everybody. Good to see y'all. Some of you crazy people been in church 5 days in a row. Man. Fanatics, you. But I'm glad you're here for the fifth day in a row. I'm glad you're on live stream and podcast, joined together with us, that we can all gather around the Word. Amen. You know, they used to enter into his courts with praise, because out in those courts is where the Word was taught. So let's enter in with praise. Father, we bless you. We honor you, Lord God. We give you all the praise and all the glory and all the honor. Oh, thank you for your Word, Lord God. Thank you for the instruction and the wisdom of your Word. Thank you, Lord, for your anointing, for your life, for all that you've given to us that pertains to life and godliness. We honor you, Most High God, everlasting Lord. You are high and lifted up. You're the glorious Lord. Thank you, Lord, that we are the living temple of the living God, that you live inside of us, that your life has been deposited inside of us, that we're new creatures in Christ. Oh, thank you, Lord. The old things have passed away and all things have become new. We bless you. We honor you. We glorify you. We magnify you, Lord God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And Father, I thank you that as we come before you to hear your word, that by your Holy Spirit you will impart revelation into our heart that the power of hell is not able to stand against it. But we can stand on your word, lean on your word, trust in your word, for your word is truth, that it's never changing, and it is always, always alive. Father, I just thank you so much for your anointing that comes on the word that removes burdens and destroys yokes. And Father, I just pray that your word would go forth, that every word would enter into our heart, Father, that it would just push in past our soul, past our emotions, and get into our heart, Father. That your word, Father, comes alive inside of us, that we continue to grow and be filled with the wisdom of your word, Father, that we would come to our senses and escape the snare that the enemy has set up and set traps for us. That the traps would be broken and that we would walk free. Yeah. Father, we thank you for it and bless you and praise you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. Glory to God. We're going to start over in 2 Kings chapter 4 this evening. And as you're turning there, I just want to tell you that the offering for Dennis Burke was $10,808. Praise God. And the ministry is going to put another $5,000 in. And the reason is because I actually believe what I shared on Monday night on the offering about hiding yourself in your seed. You know, you got to hide yourself. There are days coming. We know it. You see it out there. You see what's happening with the banking system and the economy. Well, you got to hide yourself in your seed. The Bible says the naive see it, but they just go ahead like, oh, well, whatever. No, but the Bible says the prudent man hides himself. And you hide yourself in your seed, and that seed is your place of protection through those evil days. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. So that's what we've done, and I know that's what you've done. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Did you find 2 Kings chapter 4? Let's read verse 1. It says, now a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, your servant, my husband, is dead. And you know that your servant feared the Lord and that the creditor has come to take my two children to be his slaves. So here she is. She comes before Elisha. The first thing she does is give her husband's resume. You know, he's one of the sons of the prophets, you know, your servant, Elisha. He feared and he reverenced the Lord. We have two children. They are his posterity, you know, and they're his descendants and his seed. And, you know, the promises are to us and to our seed. So she gives the resume to Elisha. She tells about her husband's lifestyle. And then she quotes the lore about the seed to the children. Just in case Elisha didn't know that. Verse 2. So Elisha said to her, what shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in the house? And she said, your maidservant has nothing in the house except a jar of oil. Now that's having nothing. You know, she has nothing. Well, why does she have nothing? I don't know. Maybe she spent all that she had trying to pay off the creditors, but it just wasn't enough. And now they're coming for her children. You know, it just sounds like the woman over at Zarephath. Remember? Well, I just got enough meal and oil that makes a piece of bread, and me and my son are going to die. Yeah. Same thing, isn't it? Verse 3. And then he said, go borrow vessels at large for yourself from all your neighbors, even empty vessels, and do not get a few. You know, her mind can just really be running at this point, okay? But what good is this? I don't need empty jars. What am I going to do with empty jars? My jar is almost empty. What am I going to do with more empty jars? I need stuff. I need stuff in the jars. I mean, I don't know if you know that, Elijah, but I need stuff in the jars. I don't need empty jars. And you tell me to go borrow? I'm already so far in debt that they're coming to take my kids, and you want me to borrow some more? Can you hear the thinking? She's already over her head in debt. And Elisha says, go borrow some vessels. Verse 4. And you shall go in and shut the door behind you and your sons and pour out into all these vessels, and you shall set aside what is full. So he says here, you go in and shut the door. Now he makes a very point about that. Yeah. Don't forget, shut the door. See, she was given direction from the man of God. And then he says, shut the door. See, when you get direction from the Word of God, you get a perception within your spirit. You hear something being taught, comes alive on the inside of you. You need to shut the door on the enemy. You need to shut the door in your mind, shut the door in your emotions, shut the door on wondering, and shut the door on questioning. And you need to take hold of what came alive on the inside of you. What spoke to you at that time? What was it that you heard within your spirit? And you need to shut the door on everything else, because anything else is going to come contrary to what you heard. Shut the door. Isn't that right? And then he says, go in, shut the door, and pour out into all of these vessels. Pour out into all of these vessels. I got one jar of oil, and you want me to pour out into all of the... Why do I need to pour my jar of oil into all these vessels? I already have a jar of oil. You understand? All right? So this could all be running through her mind. And Elisha is telling her to set aside what is full. Yeah, I got one jar. That's what's full. I've already got that, and that's all that's full. Everything else is empty. You want me to take my one jar and set it aside? He says, pour out into these vessels. Pour out what? I have one jar of oil. So probably with all the vessels that they went out and got, I could probably pour one drop into each vessel. But I'm still only going to have one jar. Huh? Now, you might think, well, that's kind of weird, but you think exactly the same. God tells you to do something, you're like, well, why? What do I have to do that for? And God's trying to get things multiplied into your life, but you're so stuck on what you've got. And it's not about what you've got, except that what you've got can open the door which God's trying to give you. Pour it out into all of these vessels. She is being given right now an open-ended opportunity to get out of debt.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's open-ended, and I'll explain why. So she needs to decide if she's going to believe this or not. Is she going to act on this or not? Because if she doesn't believe it and don't act on it, she'll just discount and go, that was ridiculous. That can't be God. That makes no sense to me. How could it be God? If it was, it would make sense to me. Are you with me? And how many times has the Lord said stuff to us and we're like, I don't see how that's going to work. I don't see how that's going to work. But yet when you decide to say, okay, you find out it does work. That's why he says his ways are not our ways. If they were our ways, then we and God would be living on the same plane and the same level. But his ways are not our ways. His word is not our word. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. But he invites us to come up to think like he thinks, talk like he talks, and walk in the ways that he walks in, far above our ways. Isn't that right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Are you with me? She could have said something like, I shouldn't have had to borrow all these vessels. I'm a believer. They should have just given them to me. Are you with me? Because you know what most Christians' favorite word is, right? Free. Yeah, free. I mean, that's a four-letter word, free, unlike the one that says work. And sometimes it takes the work to get what you need. And it's not always free. Because most of the time to get things free, you don't do anything. You just sit and wait for something free to come along. But when it comes to believing God, let's say, you know, there's something you want and it costs $200, but I'm believing God to get it free. So you do nothing. You just sit and wait for that thing to come. But if you're going to believe God for the money to get it, you've got to do something. You've got to press in to believe God for that $200. Now, what is the difference between paying $200 to get something or getting it for free if it's the same thing? What's the difference? The difference is your effort. And what's so good about your effort is that when you put in the effort to get the $200, now you understand how to get the $500. And then you understand how to get the $1,000. And then you understand how to get the $5,000. Instead of sitting and just waiting for free stuff to come along. Are you with me? But she could have been thinking the same thing. I shouldn't have had to borrow these. If they were just given to me, I could sell the vessels, and then I could make money on selling the vessels, and then maybe have enough to pay off the creditors. And that would have been a good plan in the mind of man. But she still would have fell short. Verse 5. So she went from him and shut the door behind her and her son. So what did she do? She said, okay. She said, okay. She went in and she closed the door. And they were bringing the vessels to her and she poured. The sons brought the vessels. She did the pouring. The sons brought the vessels. She did the pouring. She didn't have to get the vessels and do the pouring. The sons got all the vessels. They went around to everybody and collected all the vessels. And then she did all the pouring. So she acted in faith with one jar of oil. Now, we don't know how many vessels she had. It doesn't say, but what if she had 30 vessels? And she starts to pour that one jar of oil. Well, how amazed do you think she was when she poured out that one jar of oil into a vessel and she still had a full jar of oil? How amazing is that? It's about as amazing as the bottomless pot of chili. This oil just never ran out. Isn't that right? Just like the disciples feeding the multitudes. The more they gave out food, the more they had in their basket. Never ran out. So she acted in faith on the God-given opportunity, and the miracle of increase began to work. Now listen, this was not her idea. Well, I have a jar of oil, so I'm going to go get some vessels, and I'm just going to pour this oil in these vessels, and then I'm going to get a bunch of more oil. This is not her idea. This is well beyond her thinking. This is well beyond our thinking. We don't think like this. You know, we have such logical reasoning thinking that we're so bound because we can't open ourselves up to what God has for us. And what God has for you comes through your spirit, not through your mind. Because your spirit is limitless. Your mind is totally limited. Isn't that right? Amen. Verse 6. So when the vessels were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There is not one vessel more." And the oil stopped. So they used all the vessels they could gather, whatever they had. And when the vessel stopped, the oil stopped. This is a very important point, and one of the most important points you could get out of this whole thing is that connected to the vessels, God is not controlling how much oil for her to receive. It was all connected to the vessels that could be gathered that was determined by her sons. Her sons got the vessels. She did the pouring. So let's say they got 30 vessels and they go, "I'm tired. This is about enough." Or they could have said, "We can get 10 more." Or the neighbor could have said, "Hey, how much is enough for you? When are you going to have enough? Don't you have too much as it is?" You've heard those people talk to you all the time. You just want more. That's right. Yes. We do. But it's not just for us. If it wasn't for God blessing the ministry, we couldn't be a blessing to Dennis Burke Ministry, which means you couldn't be a blessing around the world. That's the idea about being blessed, to be a
blessing.
Well, Pastor, I tell you what, when I hit my first million, glory to God, I'll be a blessing. Yeah, I'm never going to get there, unless you're a thief. But you're not going to get there. Why? Because you won't be faithful with the little you have. God can never trust you with more. Are you with me? Hallelujah. The oil stopped when there was no more vessels. If there was more vessels, the oil would continue. Verse 7. When she came and told the man of God, then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debt, and you and your sons can live on the rest." Here's another important point. You don't always have to give stuff away. It's amazing how many people want to badger you as a Christian that you're supposed to give your stuff away. Who said that? Who says you have to always give your stuff away? Oh, I tell you what, they're selling that stuff. They're making money. They shouldn't do that. That's the dumbest thing I ever heard. You know who that is? The covetous, jealous, envy people that don't want to see anybody get ahead. Because that is not scriptural. Because your giving away is not based on "thus says your neighbor." That probably wouldn't know God if he came in with a red hat on that said, "I'm God." You got to be careful who you listen to. You don't just listen to everybody and anything. There are so many people that they just try to get their way, and they're so far outside of the realm of the Word of God, but they're just trying to get their way. And then they try to use the Word of God to get their way, and they do it all in an abusive, perverted way because it's so out of bounds of what the Word really says. Don't shout me down. You know, when I had received a new car, and I had my old car. And the thought was, should I give the car away or should I sell the car? Well, I had it in my heart to sell the car. All right? That's what the Lord said. The Lord said, sell the car. I don't mean the word of the Lord came from the cloud. I just knew on the inside. I just knew on the inside, sell the car. Okay? So I sold the car. All right? And I sold the car to a brother in the church. You didn't give him the car? No. No, I didn't. Why? Because I needed the money from the sale of the car to pay off somebody else's car. That's why. Boy, it sure is quiet in here. So God wanted somebody else's car to be paid off, but I didn't have the money to pay their car off. But if I sold my car, then I could have the money to pay their car. And this is what God wanted, that car to be paid off. Are you with me? Elisha said, sell the oil and pay off your debt, and then you can live on the rest. So what they had in vessels was enough to pay off the debt to the creditors so they wouldn't come take the sons. And they had enough for her and her sons to live on. So if they had even more vessels, they would have had more to live on. You know, God is really not, what would I say? He's not really concerned with how much you live on. He is concerned about what you do with your money, what you do with your finances, what you do with what you have. But he's not concerned with how much you have to live on. And you'd probably find out doing things by faith that the more you give, the more you're going to have to live on. That's just the way it works. There's too many promises in the Word of God to prove that. You can either believe it or not. You can sit and wait for it to happen, or you can just believe it. Are you with me? See, God is more than enough. He didn't give her enough just to pay off her debt. How many times have we believed God for something? We had just enough for what I needed. Oh, but then I needed to tithe off of that money. Now I'm still short. You didn't even believe enough for the tithe. I needed $50, and God brought the $50, but out of that $50, you're supposed to tithe $5. So now you only have $45, but you needed $50, so you're still short. When yet God is more than enough. If you needed $50, why couldn't you believe God for $100? God's more than enough. Why are you limiting? You could have had your $50, you could have had another $5. Well, actually, you would have had $10 for your tithe, which becomes $60, and you have $40 left over. Well, why do I need 40 left over? Maybe so you don't get stuck in that dumb position again. But too many people, they're just too holy. I'm too holy. Oh, no. I don't want to believe God for more than I need. Then you'll never have more than you need. And yet God is more than enough. Yeah, people think it's greedy. You're not greedy. I won't tell you what I think you are, but you're not. It's not about being greedy. You just need a revelation on the truth of the Word of God and get out of your religious dogma and move on into life of what God's given to you. Amen. Amen. God is not a barely enough God or just scratch by God. He said, pay off the debt and you'll have enough left to live on. That's more than enough than what you need. You know, sometimes you just have to grow into more than enough faith. You remember, faith, what's on the inside of you is going to grow 30, 60, 100-fold. And that's what gets produced in your life, 30, 60, or 100-fold, depending on where your faith is at. So if I'm sowing $100 and I've got 30-fold faith, then that's going to produce on the inside of me. And out of 30-fold faith, this is what I'm acting on. But then I could do the same thing because faith grew, and now I'm operating out of 60-fold faith. So I'm sowing the same thing, but things are working even better. But then I can grow even more, and I can have 100-fold faith working on the inside of me, and I'm doing the same exact thing, but it's producing more results because faith is growing. And you got to get to the point to where you grow into more than enough faith. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Not just believing for what you need, but believing for more than enough. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, you might be in a place to where you're looking for $50,000. But you don't have $50,000 faith. You know that. But what do you have? Well, maybe I have $100 faith. So I'm believing God in this area. And $100 comes in. What do you do with the $100? You tithe 10. You still have 90. What are you going to do with that? I suggest you put it on the side someplace, because if it adds up, it'll become the $50,000. As faith grows, that'll grow. See, put it, even if you just put it in a box in your house, the Bible says he'll bless you in your storehouse if you will hearken to the voice of the Lord your God and do as he commands you to do. That box in your house will be blessed. It's your storehouse. Even if there's only $10 in it, it'll grow. Amen. Praise the Lord. So this woman was pouring out of oil, and she was doing it by faith. So where did she get the faith to act on this? Well, it came from the word that was spoken to her. The word of the Lord came to her through the prophet. Just like it comes maybe through the written word, it comes through the Holy Spirit, it comes through what I know within my human spirit. Isn't that right? And the opportunity, she seized the opportunity, and she entered into the provision of the Lord. And you know what? Elijah never told her what the outcome would be. He never told her, listen, I'll tell you what, lady. Go get a bunch of vessels. You're going to pour that oil into a bunch of vessels, and that vessel is going to fill up, and then you're going to go sell the vessels, and you'll pay off your debt, and you'll have enough left over. See, that's what we want. And God will never do that for you. He'll tell you this is what you need to do. And you go, why? Why? Why do I have to do that? That don't make any sense. That's what we do. Mm-hmm. And then we have to make a decision. You're going to do it or not do it. And God's going to just sit there and wait until you finally act in faith. And when you do, the power of God will get released. But he's not going to lay out the whole thing to you, because then there won't be any faith. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Receiving a word from the Lord into her life and then acting on it changed her life. And it changed her son's lives. Goes beyond logic. It goes beyond reasoning. Just like Elijah that spoke to the widow in Zarephath. Same exact thing. The anointing to pour into the vessels. That's what the anointing was. The anointing was to pour into the vessels, that the power of God would be released in the pouring into the vessels. When there was no more vessel, there was no more pouring. Okay? God would never stop if the vessels didn't stop. They could have had 500 vessels and it could have kept pouring. And who knows if God wouldn't have said, sell what you've got, pay off the creditors, live on this amount, and take care of the rest of your town with the balance. You don't know. You don't know. What if they had 500 vessels instead of 30? How much could they have sold that for? And God could have said, and then go take care of so-and-so too. You don't know. But what you do know is what they did. They had enough vessels, and when the vessel stopped, the pouring stopped, and what was poured was enough to pay off the creditors and for her and her sons to live on the rest. Therefore, the amount of the pouring was in the hand of man. But the power was in the hand of God.
Thank you, Lord.
And the power of God could not operate without the cooperation of man. Of course, man had to pour.
Yes,
when man ran out of vessels to pour, the power stopped. Are you with me? The pouring was in the hand of man, but the power was in the hand of God. The hand of God can continue to move in power as long as the pouring of man continued in the vessels. Praise God. Amen. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 8. Now there came a day when Elisha passed over to Shunem, where there was a prominent woman, and she persuaded him to eat food. And so it was, as often as he passed by, he turned in there to eat food. This is a prominent woman. She's extremely rich. This is a wealthy woman. And she persuaded him to stop and eat. And then every time he'd go by there, he would always stop and eat. Not because he's looking for a free meal. I've known people that would always want to go out with certain people for dinner or for lunch or whatever, and they would always take those certain people out because they knew that those people would pay for their meal.
Every week.
It was disgusting. You know. But that happens. But Elijah is not looking for a free meal. Why did he stop there all the time to eat? Because there was a spiritual connection. Verse 9. You know, spiritual connection is the most important thing you can ever have in life. You know, we have Brother Dennis Burke come in because of that spiritual connection. He's the longest relationship I've had with anybody in the ministry. And that relationship has grown over the years. And he is my man of God. And then we have Brother Terry Mize come in because there's a spiritual connection. Clyde Oliver's coming in later on in this year because there's a spiritual connection. And that's who comes in. And I know people that have wonderful ministries, but there's no spiritual connection. And if there's no connection, they're not going to be passing by. I've had people call me and say, what is it going to take for me to get into your church? Nothing, just walk in the door and sit in the back seat. You're fine. Because if there's no connection, I'm not having you come in just because you want to do a service and maybe get some money. I'm sorry. It's not going to work. Spiritual connection is very important. Making spiritual connections in life are very important. So verse 9 says, so she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. Now. She says, now. So she put food out for him. He's been coming there and eating food on a regular basis. But she says, now I perceive this is a holy man of God. So before, he was just an ordinary man. And she was putting food out for him. Of course, in his travel, so he could have something to eat. But now she says, I perceive that he is a holy man of God. So she didn't put food out there because she's trying to suck up to the man of God. She didn't put food out there and try to feed him because she thought, oh, I can have an inroad to God here. She didn't put food out for him to eat, thinking that she's going to have some kind of special favor. Don't you hate that stuff? I had a guy one time, he came to church some years ago, and it was Christmas time. Oh, Pastor, let me take you down to the mall. I'll buy anything you want for Christmas. I'll buy your shirts. I'll buy your sweaters, whatever you want, you know. Oh, buy this. And, you know, I went down to Dillard's with him. Oh, buy this. You know, I took it all. I knew he was just trying to make, you know, inroads. And he was a goat. And I milked him for all that he had. The Bible says milk the goats. I'm sorry. Before you barbecue them, milk them. What the Bible says. Dr. Bill did a whole teaching one time at ICFM about barbecue the goats. Now, Pastor Nitz, she wouldn't go out and she said, I'm not taking anything from him. I'm like, why not? Milk is milk. Just for the record, we have no goats in the congregation or on live stream. We love y'all. You're wonderful sheep. Amen. Verse 10, let's move on. He says, please let us make a little walled upper chamber, and let us set a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand, and it shall be when he comes to us that he can turn in there. So this is not a lean-to awning type thing. And that's what they normally did, is they put a lean-to and awning off the side of the building that they could get a little bit of shade. But that's not what she said. She built an actual room, an upper chamber with a bed. She furnished it. So it wasn't just a room, but she also furnished it, right? So it didn't stop with the offering of food, but now she's going even further with her seed. See, the food was a seed, but now this room is a seed. And you could say, well, she was a prominent woman. She had a lot of money. Yeah, but she knows how to use it. And that's the key. Knowing how to use it. It doesn't matter what you've got. It's knowing how to use what you've got. She provided a place of rest, food, and shelter for the man of God in his journeys. Now, that's what free will offerings are all about. See, she said in verse, was it 9? I think it was 9. Could you go back to 9? She said to her husband, behold, now I perceive this is a holy man of God passing by us continually. So the idea of the free will offering is that when you sense the anointing passing by, you sow into that. Just like she sowed into when he came by, that was the anointing of God coming by. She wasn't sowing into a person, but into the anointing of God. And then when you sense the anointing of God moving in the service, that's what free will offerings are about. Amen. Verse 11 through 13. And one day he came there and turned into the upper chamber and rested. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said to him, Elisha, says to his servant Gehazi, now tell her, behold, you've been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Now, you got to understand something. Here's Elisha in the room. And there's Gehazi, his servant, right next to him. And he says, call the Shunammite. And the Shunammite woman comes into the room, and he turns to Gehazi and says, say this to her. And he says exactly what he wants Gehazi to say that she's listening to when she's standing there. Now say to her, behold, you've been careful for us with all this care. What can I do for you? Would you be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the army? And she answered, I live among my own people. Okay, so you wonder why Elisha didn't speak directly to her. Well, it could have been because she was in great awe of the man of God. She had a reverence for him. Okay, and for him to speak directly to her, what may have been an issue, and she may have not even really heard it because of the reverence that she had. Are you with me? Verse 14 through 17. So he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, here we go, truly she has no son and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her again, she stood in the doorway. And then he said, at this season next year, you will embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your maidservant. And the woman conceived and bore a son at that season the next year, as Elisha had said to her. Now, notice the switch. He's not talking to Gehazi to talk to the woman. He's talking directly to the woman. Why? Because it's a prophetic word directly to her. And only Elisha could speak that prophetic word to her. Because it has to be released from Elisha in the power of God to her. It cannot go through another person to her. So now he's speaking directly to her because it is the word of the Lord directly for her. So this is not something Elisha's like, oh, she needs a son. Okay, let's say she's going to have a son. Call her in here and let's tell her she's going to have a son. No, no, no. This is a prophetic word from the Lord of the prophets, God himself. And he's speaking prophetically over this woman. Amen. Verse 18 through 20. When the child was grown, the day came when he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to his servant, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her lap until noon, and then he died. Well, that doesn't seem to be like a fulfillment of the word, although she did have a son. But just like the woman that had a lack of finances with the creditors, this woman is now in a great lack. But now it has to do with life, the life of her son. Isn't that right? Verse 21. See, let me just tell you this. Lack is lack is lack. If you only think lack has to do with money, then you have as much of a poverty mentality as thinking prosperity only has to do with money. Lack is in any area of your life. Wherever there is lack, you're in the snare of the enemy. And that lack needs to be broken in your life, in any area. Whether it's a lack of health, whether it's a lack of peace, whether it's a lack in your relationships, a lack of understanding, a lack in direction. Wherever there's a lack in any area, we're in the snare of the enemy. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm free, I'm born again, I'm not in the snare of the enemy, and you're probably the biggest one. Why do we always have to renew our mind if there isn't a snare of the enemy? And the reason many times we think we don't need to renew our mind because we think everything's just right. And that's the worst thing you could ever think. Because everything that you think is right is not. Because you're lining up what you think with what you think. But you don't line up what you think with what God thinks. And that's the only way you'll find out that what you think is wrong. Only way. There is no other way. There's no other standard. I mean, you can't decide whether you're right based on what your neighbor says. You can't base whether you're right based on what somebody else in the church says. You only base what's right based on the Word of God. And only the Word of God could show you where you're wrong. And many people don't want to spend any time in the Word because they don't want to know. Because they're very happy being wrong. Which means one thing, your life will never be any better than what it is. And that's sad. That's sad considering that Jesus died, shed his blood, gave his life, went to hell, and paid the price so you could be eons beyond where you're at right now. Every one of us. Every one of us. All you have to do is admit you're wrong. Hallelujah. Change is in the air. Change is in the air. So she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door. Shut the door. There it is again. Shut the door behind him and went out. See, where did she lay the boy? On her seed. She laid the boy on her seed in the upper room on the furniture that she provided and seeded to the man of God. The connection of her needed miracle was in the seed that she gave to her man of God. Oh, that just gets all over me. I don't know about you, but I got chills just running right through my body on that point.
Yes, indeed. It changed in the air. Thank you, Lord God.
You know, whenever Dennis comes into town, And usually between the airport and the hotel, I'm giving them an envelope and going, here's my seed. Right away. First thing. Because he's my man of God, and I'm going to seed to him. Where are we? 22 and 23. It says, then she called to her husband and said, please send me one of the servants and one of the donkeys that I may run to the man of God and return. And he said, why will you go to him today? It's neither new moon nor Sabbath. It's not Sunday. It's not a midweek service. What are you doing running to him for? It's his day off. Leave him alone. And she said, it'll be well. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that this is what he's saying. He's wondering, why are you going? See, she never told him your son died. She never told him. She just said, I'm going to go see the man of God. He's like, what are you going there for? Amen. So her husband has no idea why she's going to see Elisha. Verse 24 to 26. It says, so then she saddled the donkey and said to her servant, drive and go forward. Do not slow down the pace for me unless I tell you. Like if I bounce out, you ought to slow down. So she went and came to the man of God to Mount Carmel. And when the man of God saw her at a distance, he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, there is the Shunammite. Please run now to meet her and say to her, is it well with you? Is it well with your husband? Is it well with your child? And she answered, it is well. See, the first thing out of her mouth, it is well. It's so important that whatever situation you're in, the first thing out of your mouth is the verse is so important. That's going to set your faith and set your path in that situation. And the first thing she said was, it is well. Is it well with you? It is well. Is it well with your husband? It is well. Is it well with your child? It is well. See, because she's speaking faith and she's speaking what she wants, not what she has. Isn't that right? So she's declaring her faith. The first thing spoken out of her mouth. She did not tell her husband that his son died. She did not tell Gehazi, my son died. She's going to the one that can make a difference. She's going to her connection to God, who she needs above everybody else. She's not putting something on Facebook. She's not tweeting out about her problems. She's going to the man of God that's got the answer for her. Amen. Verse 27. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught hold of his feet. And Gehazi came near to push her away, but the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is troubled within her, and the Lord has hidden it from me and has not told me. Which means what? You can't know what you don't know. That is deep, isn't it? He said here, the Lord has hidden it from me, or the Lord has not revealed to me what's wrong with her. Now, you need to understand something here. Elisha is in position and had the habit of hearing. This is not somebody just living out there in la-la land and going, well, I don't hear nothing from God. And they're just out there doing whatever and never really paying attention. It's kind of like people that say, you know, you don't have to go to church on Sunday because, you know, you can go out to the river and go out on a boat on Sunday because God is out there on the boat. Yeah, but you ain't with him. Oh, God's out there where you're fishing, but you're not there fishing with him. You know, and people do this all the time. Well, God's every place. Well, we know he's every place. You're just not with him every place. And a lot of people, they just do that. And they live out there in goofy land. Oh, I don't hear nothing from God, so I guess everything's okay. No, you're not in position to hear. And it's all about getting into the right position to hear.
Yes.
Elisha lived in that position. So when he says the Lord hasn't revealed it to me, it means the Lord hasn't revealed it to me. He's not saying, well, I don't know what's going on. No, he just don't know. The Lord has not revealed it to him. He knows how to hear, and he hears regularly.
Yep.
Verse 29. And then he said to Gehazi, gird up your loins. Take my staff in your hand and go your way. If you meet any man, do not salute him. If anyone salutes you, do not answer him. And lay my staff on the lad's face. So this was the first step. He's got a direction. This is the first step. I'm not too sure here about what's going on, so I'm sending Gehazi. So Gehazi is going to prepare the way for Elisha. Just like John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. Just like the disciples would go to the towns ahead of Jesus and prepare the towns for his coming. In the same way, you need to be prepared for the anointing. Many times you might come to church and really not get anything out of it because you're not prepared to hear. In your heart, in your spirit, you got to prepare to hear. This is why, now we don't on Wednesday, but Sundays or when we have guest speakers, we spend time in worship to get into that place to where we're ready and prepared to hear. Many times on Wednesday night, the anointing don't move until 20 minutes in because it's all a matter of getting prepared to start to hear. And finally, the anointing moves because people are now getting prepared. After 20 minutes, they're shutting things down from the day. Are you with me? Preparing the way for the anointing. Do you prepare yourself for the anointing to come to you? Do you prepare yourself to hear on the inside what the anointing of God wants to speak to you? Do you prepare yourself? You have to be prepared. You can't live in la-la land and think, I'm going to hear. So Gehazi goes with no hesitation. He said, Gehazi, you go ahead of me. Don't even wait for me because I got to stay here and take care of mom for a little bit. Verse 30 and 31. So the mother of the lad said, as the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you. And he arose and followed her. He followed her. He didn't walk ahead and go, I'm the boss, I'm in charge here. No, he followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff on the lad's face, but there was no sound or response. So he returned to meet him and told him, the lad has not awakened. So Elisha has traveled with the mom. Gehazi did not have the needed success. Verse 32. And when Elisha came into the house, behold, the lad was dead and laid on his bed, or laid on her seed in her seated apartment. Verse 33. So he entered and he shut the door behind them both and prayed to the Lord. Because prayer is the first step. You know, there's times that even when it comes to praying for people and laying hands on people for them to be well, and you might know what the Word of God says, but unless the anointing of God is moving in a tangible way, the first thing you do is pray.
Yeah.
Elisha was not exactly sure about everything. Remember, the Lord did not reveal to him, and now he knows what's going on. So the first thing he's going to do is what? Pray to the Lord. Because he needs direction, and he needs instruction. You know, everything about praying for people is not about, oh, glory to God, in the name of Jesus, be healed. You know, not everything's about that. Or rubbing people's makeup off their face. But you know, not everything's about that. And you got to know. Amen. Rough crowd. Verses 34 and 35. And he went up and lay on the child. Now, I know this makes a lot of sense here. This really just, you know, this really stirs up our logical thinking here. He went up and laid on the child and put his mouth on his mouth, his eyes on his eyes, his hands on his hands, and stretched himself on him. Thank God there was no cameras around. I'm glad they didn't have iPhones back then. SimpliSafe was not turned on in the room. Dear God. And he stretched himself on him, and the flesh of the child became warm. This makes all kinds of sense. We understand this totally. This is not CPR. He's not breathing into him and, you know. But it's the first step. He's not done. The flesh of the child became warm. Isn't that right? All right? Because sometimes miracles come in steps.
Yes, it is.
And in fact, miracles coming in steps happens more than you realize. But we're so set on boom, it's got to be boom, boom, automatically done right away. And yet, many times that's not how it works. And your faith may not be in a place to where the boom, boom, boom is going to work. But bless God, well, that's what I want. Well, faith don't come by what you want. You're trying to maybe produce 100-fold results with 30-fold faith. Amen. Miracles come in steps. But whether it comes in steps or whether it's a boom, a miracle's a miracle. A miracle's a miracle. Isn't that right? Amen. Now, Elisha knew that it was the word of God that gave this woman a child. And therefore, this attack cannot stand. Because this child is from the Lord. It was a miracle child by the power of God. Verse 36 and 37. No, I'm sorry, 35. So then he returned and he walked in the house once back and forth. What's he doing? Praying. And then he went up and stretched himself on the boy again. And the lad sneezed 7 times and the lad opened his eyes. 36 at 37. And he called Gehazi and said, call the Shunammite. So he called her, and when she came into him, he said, take up your son. And then she went in, fell at his feet, and bowed herself to the ground, and she took up her son, and she went out. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Her needed miracle. Her son being born was a miracle. Her son being raised is a miracle. And it all started with sowing food. And then she went a little further, and she sowed a furnished room and furniture. She didn't do the sewing with any ulterior motive of trying to get anything, but she did it out of her heart to be a blessing. And her seed connected her to her miracles. Amen. Chapter 8. Can you stand a little more? Chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Now Elisha spoke to the woman whose son he had restored to life, saying, arise and go with your house and sojourn wherever you can sojourn. For the Lord has called for a famine, and it will even come on the land for 7 years. So famine is coming to the land, but because of the woman's seed connection, she was directed to miss the famine.
Yes, thank you, Lord Jesus.
Let that sink in.
Yes, thank you,
directed to miss the famine. See, the famine didn't stop, but the famine don't have to touch you. You can hide yourself from that famine. Verse 3. So at the end of 7 years, the woman returned from the land of the Philistines, and she went out to appeal to the king for her house and for her field. Now, do you remember when Elijah told Gehazi, call the Shunammite woman in and say to her, you have been so careful for us. What would you have us to do for you? Would you have us speak to the king for you? And she said, no, I live among my own people. Well, what has she just done? She went out to appeal to the king. She wants her house and her property back that she had before she left 7 years prior because of the famine. Right?
Yes.
Verses 4 and 5. Now the king was talking with who? Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, saying, please relate to me all the great things that Elisha has done. And he was relating to the king how he had restored to life the one who was dead. And behold, the woman whose son he had restored to life appealed to the king for her house and for her field. And Gehazi said, my lord, O king, this is the woman, and this is her son whom Elisha had restored to life. It just so happened that she comes back and comes to the king for her house and field. And there's Gehazi right there talking to the king about all the things that Elisha has done. It's like, oh, my king, here's the woman and here's her son. Just so happens. And we've talked about God-given opportunities and not hesitating and being on time and doing the things that need to be done. And this is another example of that. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
She's coming to the king. I'd like my house back. I'd like my field back. Money doesn't do you any good at this time. She was a prominent woman back then, but is she now? She's gone through 7 years. She's not living in her own place. She's out in the land of the Philistines. They may not have had cryptocurrencies to trade back then. So maybe she wasn't getting any increase in her finances. Are you with me? So she comes to the king, and there's Gehazi. Just so happens. Verse 6. And when the king asked the woman, then she related it to him. So the king appointed for her a certain officer, saying, restore all that was hers and all the produce of the field from the day that she left the land even until now. So everything that that land would have produced for the last 7 years, give it all back to her. So even if she had to go to the land of the Philistines and spend everything she had to live, she's come back and now she's been totally restored. And she's come back to her place of prominence. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Everything was returned and restored to her, and it all started with a continuous seed of food. Then the seed of a furnished apartment. And in the apartment, the food even continued. Her seed miracle, her seed connection, rather, brought a miracle son. Her seed connection brought about a miracle of resurrection for her son. Her seed produced protection in the famine. And her seed brought about the restoration of all things in her life. The account of the woman that had the creditors that was coming to take her sons and the account of the Shunammite woman are exactly the same. There is no difference at all. Incidents of the accounts, but they're exactly the same. They both had need. They both had issues. They both had problems. They both needed faith, and they both needed to operate in that faith, and it released the power of God into their life. All the miracles, whether it was a jar of oil or whether it was food, all the miracles was based on the power of the seed.
Yes.
Both of them, by faith, responded to God. Both of them by faith gave themselves to God-given opportunities because they listened to the word of the Lord. Brought them to a place to be able to live beyond ordinary, to live beyond carnality, and live beyond just being mere men. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
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 Out of the realm of the natural, into the realm of the supernatural that produced results in the natural. Because they could live in and be affected in both realms at the same time. Because this is living beyond ordinary. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You're not limited to the things that are in your hand or the things that are around you. But you can be unlimited by the unlimited God. You're unlimited in your spirit. Your spirit being is unlimited. And the only thing holding it back are the snares of our soul. It's the only thing that's holding it back. And this is why renewal and restoration is so important.
Yes.
To open up the door. Well, how do you do that? It's by the word of God. Spending time in the word of God. Believing God according to his word. That he would unveil within you the unlimited riches of his glory and his grace. Believing according to his word that he'll lead you in his path of life. That he'll help you and instruct you to walk in his ways. That you could fulfill his will on this earth. It's believing what his word says. It's taking his word. It's not about like, I'm just not going to worry about it. Yeah, that ain't doing nothing. That won't do nothing. You know how long that works? Until you have something to worry about. Until you have something that your confession of, I'm just not going to worry, isn't going to handle it. And you're just like one of the staffs that the magicians threw down on the floor in the face of Pharaoh when Moses was there. That's all it is. It's just a trick of the enemy. Throw down your staff, it turns into a serpent. Well, I'm just not going to worry about that. I'm just not going to worry about that. That's all that is. It's a magician's staff that deceives you to thinking you're doing something. And all you're doing is setting yourself up for a direct hit. It's about taking what the word of God says. It says, I will be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, I let my request be made known to God. And then do it. I do it. I get into prayer. And I make supplication before the Lord about my request and what I need. And I will keep my mind set on whatever is good, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is of virtue and of excellence. I'll think on those things. I cast my cares upon the Lord because he will care for me. The birds of the sky, they do not reap, they do not spin, but yet he takes care of them and I'm worth much more than the birds. I am the needy and I cry out to the Lord and he hears me and he meets my needs. Declaring what the word of God says is what changes life. Because if you can't see it, you can't have it. You got to see it in the spirit. And then in the natural, you'll be able to have it. But it starts on the inside. And right from the place that you're at, wherever you may be, you just got to make a decision to see what the word of God says. And when you see it, you can have it. You know, when I first started believing God for healing, I would get like flu or virus symptoms on me. Man, I'd be feverish. I'd be achy. I'd be hurting. I'd be congested. I'd be feverish. And I'd be like, man, I got to do something about this because I know God can heal me. Well, after a while, I'd start to feel bad, maybe getting a little congested. I'd be like, I'm not going down that road. I'm going to deal with this. And then it got to the point to where I'd start to feel tired. But I wasn't physically tired. I was just tired. I'm like, well, that's not right. See, because what you find out is tired without being physically tired. I'm just tired. That's the first step to sick. But if you deal with the tired, you won't have to deal with the congestion and the sore throat. And then you won't have to deal with the fever and be down on your back. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. So I started seeing it, first of all, feverish, chills, achy, sore throat, congestion. But then I backed it up and I could see it. Congestion, sore throat. And then I back it up a little bit and I could see it. Oh, just being tired. It's trying to bring me down that road. And when you start to see things, then you can start dealing with things. But if all you do is see yourself flat on your back in bed, and that's when you need to do something, that's all you see, then that's all you're going to have. But you got to see the beginning stuff. Where does it start? Remember Dennis talked about what? The little foxes. That little tiredness, that's a little fox. You're either going to catch it or it'll whip you. But if you can't see it, you can't have it. Okay. Brian, Mike.
So this teaching, last 3 weeks, the Spirit of God have told me another famine is coming. Between the chaining from one system to another, and sandwich between that, the famine. It's the teaching of the lesson over here. It to warn you and prepare you that you can, God have the way for you to escape. And I don't know what he said to you. You need to find out and pray and find out what God have for you to do so that famine won't touch you. Remember when the spear of death that come through the Egypt, they killed the 2-year-old kid and all that?
Firstborn.
Yeah, so what the Spirit of God tell the man of God to do? Put the bird in the doorpost. Then the Spirit of death, they will never stop to you how they will pass on. They're the same principle. So the teaching is to warn you, prepare you, so you get alert, get ready, and find out. Go home and pray and find out what God have for you to do. So you can escape that famine. He's just not going to talk to you to tickle your ear and just knowing something, but he's talking to you so you can do something to prevent those things to come into your life and your home. Amen? It happened before, the same thing. So it's up to you. When you have ear to hear, the Spirit of God will speak to you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, you remember the time when I told you when I was having lunch with a lot of pastors and we were talking about having an outreach in the city and doing counseling for the people that would come forward, whether it was marriage counseling or issues in their life. And they all said to me, you have to understand we know nothing about the Bible except you get saved or you recommit your life to the Lord. That's all we know. We've never been taught anything other than that in seminary. So therefore, they knew nothing about life. Now they could get people saved, but when it comes to discipling people, you're getting involved in life. And the Word of God goes way beyond that, way beyond just getting saved. In fact, there are revelations like the eye of the needle, the doorway into the temple, the small gate. That's not just being born again. That's also about life. Because the parable of the sower says you heard the word and now things are taking place in your life. But now you've taken on a desire for other things and a care of the world and the deceitfulness of riches. You've got to get back in through that eye of the needle. See, these things continue to progress in our life. And we have to understand that there is so much more that The new birth is the best thing that can happen to anybody. Amen. But it's only the first thing. It's the best thing, but it's only the first thing. It's only the beginning. Because Jesus said you cannot enter into the kingdom unless you're born again. And then he goes on and tells his disciples, the kingdom is within you. Well, that means you can enter into that kingdom right here, right now, and live in it. But you can't live in it unless you know what the Word of God says to guide you and direct you. Anybody ever go on a trip to a foreign country? Do you ever try to find your own way? Do you ever wind up in the wrong areas because you didn't have the right guide? The Holy Spirit's the guide. He's the one that'll keep you guided, and he's the one that'll direct you, and he's the one that'll set you on the path. Amen. You're in a new kingdom. It doesn't work like the old kingdom. Thank God. Thank God it doesn't work like the old kingdom. Famine is of the old kingdom. It does not belong to us. Amen. Amen. Come on, lift your hands with me. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord. We bless you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness, your grace. Thank you for all that you are and all that you do. We honor you, Lord God. Oh, I thank you, Lord, that you're God in the midst of the storm, that you are God in all things, in the midst of all circumstances and situations. Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now say it with me. I am not going to live ordinary anymore, but I will take hold of the truth of the Word, get it in my spirit, and it will move me to live beyond the ordinary, to live beyond being mere men. But I will live in this natural realm, in the spiritual realm, and it will affect the natural realm. And I will walk in this natural realm supernaturally, because by the Word of God and the thoughts of God and the ways of God, I will live beyond ordinary. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you. Praise you. Praise you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory, glory. Now, I know you prayed that out there on live stream and podcast. I know you prayed that. Take that to yourself. Declare those things. Listen to it again. Write it down and put it in your mouth. Get it in your heart and let that become a reality in your life. Because when you can see it, glory to God, you're going to have it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. Father, we thank you for your Word. Thank you, Father, for the move of your Spirit, your anointing, and your presence. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for walking through the midst of the church. And we are honored and we reverence you in your being here. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring about us and desiring to see our life change and to be conformed to your very life. Lord, as we just come before you now with our giving, we give of ourselves, we give of our substance to honor you, to worship you. You're the one that we adore and the one in whom our heart is full of thanksgiving for. So as we sow our seed today, we do it according to your Word. We do it as you have declared to us today, that in the power of the seed, Father, that we can hide ourselves, that our seed is our protection, as it is the life of our future. What we see declared in the world is not the life of our future, but it is the sowing of our seed that is the life of our future. We thank you for it, we honor you, and we bless you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, 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 amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thanks for joining again on live stream and podcast. Glad you could be with us today. If you'd like to sow seed into the ministry, go to our website, newlifefamilyworship.net, and click on the giving link. If there's anything that we can stand in prayer with you about, please let us know, and we'll stand with you and believe God with you for your greatest need to be met. Amen.